This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we are ready to talk some soccer today. We've got a lot of things to get to. Some positive, some negative. We're going to, of course, talk about the English Premier League starting back up.
It's back.
It's back, baby.
After
it's
a long,
finally that time.
6 week rest, it seems.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Premier League season, shortest in all of, I think, world sports, really. Other, you know, soccer season in general is a very short off season.
Well, the FA, FA Cup final was the last English, full English game that was played. And that was, I think, the 5th of June. And then Champions League, which obviously featured City, that was the 13th or the 12th of June. And City's going to play tomorrow, which is on a Friday.
Soccer podcast day is a Thursday.
If you're listening to this Saturday, yeah, you're going to go into a freaking time warp. But any, regardless,
August 11th to June 5th.
60 days.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's one of those off seasons that's so short, the actual time period where all the deals are done to get all the players in, that time period extends past the offseason.
Yes.
So that's all not done. We'll talk about some of the teams in the Premier League that have good shots, some new expectations for some teams that last year surprised some people. Can they rekindle that magic, or was that just a one-time affair? We'll get into some of that. We will also, of course, talk about the goings-on, the happenings of the World Cup, Women's World Cup, U.S. crash out of that, and that's where we will start. Beamer, I got to tell you, I probably should have admitted this earlier, but still haven't brought myself to watch the game.
Okay, so it's funny you mention that, because I was going to be fully transparent with you.
So you haven't watched it either?
All right, let me explain, and then you can explain why you didn't.
I'll explain yours. Okay.
And I know what you were doing, and so this is on a very different paths of not watching.
Okay.
So we're getting ready to go back to school. All right, Meredith's been off for 5 months.
Your wife, Meredith, is a teacher.
Yes.
It's about time. And had a baby during the school year last year, left for the rest of the school year, had the summer off.
Yep.
Now it's time.
So
all this is happening.
It's go time in our house, all right? Like, she's going back to work for the first time in 5 months, and she's taking a new job, and she's stressed out about that. That same school district and everything, she's just taking a new job within the school district. So we have someone who's going to come to our house and watch young William.
A drifter
yes.
That you met under a bridge.
We picked her off the street, and she's going to come to our house from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. every school day.
All right? Okay,
so it's Monday through Friday, because Meredith leaves at 7, and she gets done with work around 3. She'll probably be home till 4. Now, between the hours of 11 a.m. and 4 p.m.,
It's
daddy time. So that's what's going to happen in our house.
I gotcha.
So between the hours of 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. every weekday from here on out through the rest of the school year, I am doing father duty, all right, which is terrifying. But let's take a step back. Before all this begins, Meredith realized that, like, hey, you're going to be taking on a lot of expectations and trying to raise our child, like, while I'm at work. So I'm going to let you have the weekend.
Oh.
All right. So
you had this whole weekend to do whatever you wanted to do.
Basically. So on Friday, I played golf.
Okay.
It was very nice of her to let me out of the house. I played golf. I had a couple of beverages. I got home. And then I went over to neighbor Eric's, and I watched the Leagues Cup game where the crew went crashing out. I was overserved at Eric's house.
But he's neighbor Eric, walked back to your house.
Yeah, I mean, my house from his house, again, is about 20 feet away. So. Yeah. So that was okay. And then we go on an annual fishing trip every single year. Now, I realize having a child, I probably can't get away with spending Friday and Saturday night there, so we're just going to make a day trip on Saturday. So I get out, we get up early. My stepdad is the designated driver, where he is going to take me up there, and he's going to bring me back. So that's a, hour and 40 minutes one way. That's about a, round three and a half hours round trip. So I was overserved on Friday.
These sound like excuses, by the way. I just want everybody to realize.
I'm telling you my reasoning.
Sunday morning's coming here.
You can be the judge. And then on Saturday, I way overserved myself.
Like, well, it's because the fishing trip is really a drinking trip.
Yes, correct. And we did catch a fish this year. It was the first trip we ever caught on the fishing trip. Which usually it's 12-ounce silver cans out of ice-cold waters in a cooler.
Yeah.
So I get home and I go to bed around, I don't know, 1 o'clock on Saturday night. We get home around
11. Getting up at 5 is probably a tough
call. I decided it'd be a good idea after my stepdad dropped me off to be like, hey, let's get some bourbon. Like, that's a really good idea after you've been drinking all day. So I woke up at 7:30 on Sunday morning, and I'm like rolling over in bed, and I just, what's the score of this game? I had my alarm set and everything, and that clicked off.
Clicked
like,
off. Nope, I'm
not
getting up.
More. And then I saw it was in penalties, and I ran to the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost puked when I ran to the TV, but I ran to the TV. I turned it on, and my wife, for the first time, who's seen me like for the first time in 2 days, like, hey, good to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're here. Here's the baby. I'm like, ah, women's penalties. It's going on.
Sorry,
like, we got this going on. And she goes, okay. So we turn it on, and then we watch. So that was my reasoning.
So you at least watched the penalties.
I did watch the penalties.
Okay. Which is good. It's more than I did. All I have seen is I saw the save that ended up not being a save.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, so my reason I didn't watch is because I did watch. I shouldn't say I didn't watch any of the game. I watched probably about 15 to 20 minutes of it live, all told. I was running in the Grandview Yard 5K on that Sunday morning.
I guess
started
very different reasonings for missing the game.
Actually, it was a 5K, a quarter marathon and a half marathon.
Nice.
I ran the quarter, which is 6.5 miles, all through Grandview UA. It was a lovely course.
Man.
They do
That's
a great
awesome.
Job. Well, it was a lot of fun. I like doing that stuff. But I had it on YouTube TV on my phone. I got into the parking garage early, and I'm watching a little bit there, and then I'm walking around, and if I just had no one to talk to, I'd pop that back up, watch 5 minutes. So I did see a little of it, saw it was scoreless, was like, okay, we got the second half, still scoreless, saw it in the 70th minute, it was scoreless. I'm like, all right. And then it's getting to be time for like race is starting.
Yeah.
So I turned that off, running with my buddy, Sam Fahmy, who I know some of you know, we've had him on the podcast. He is a photographer, crew photographer. You'll see him in lots of stuff. He was running with me, and he had his Apple Watch set up to have the updates to the game. So he's getting buzzed when it's like 90 minutes, you know, and then it goes to extras and all that. So he's like, all right, they got to 90 minutes scoreless. So they're going, you know, to extra time. And I said, okay. And so then we do the 2 50-minute halves, still scoreless. I'm like, all right. He goes, going to penalties. We're at like the 3-mile mark. And he's like, I think we lost. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, it looks like we lost. And I'm like,
oh God.
So we still have 3.5 miles to go. We are basically the furthest away from the start finish line as we get. I get the news that we lost in penalties. And then the whole way back, I'm just like, all right, well, focus on and keep going. And so I was kind of thinking about it a little bit on the run. And then I got back. I did watch highlights. I did watch, you know, the shootout again. And I watched that save, and I thought, God, what a way for this team to go out, where I think that was a metaphor for this team this year, Beamer.
Yeah, it was.
Under the surface, there's a lot of talent on this team. Not under the surface. There is a lot of talent on this team. It's there. They were close to breaking through. But just like that penalty where there's a lot of talent in that goalkeeper, that was a brilliant save, and they were close to continuing on with that penalty kick shootout, there was just a little something where it wasn't enough. And it just, the ball barely trickled over, but that's it. That's all it takes in the World Cup. That little bit of difference is what it takes. And I feel, now granted, I did not sit down and watch 90 minutes of this or 120 minutes of this Sweden game. But coming into this game, we talked about how Sweden is one of those teams that
third best team in the world.
Third best team in the world. They've knocked the U.S. out of multiple tournaments in the past. Yeah. They have always been a tough out for the U.S., and they are really, really good. They are one of those teams where people say, oh, the quality's gone up. And they're talking about the teams that used to get beat 13-0. There's not as many of those.
Yeah.
That's improved. What's also, though, improved is the teams like Sweden, who were like a step behind the U.S.
Half step behind.
They've caught the U.S. Like, they're with the – and then it comes down to the nitty-gritty.
Like
then
the
it comes down
of, like, playing the game.
It comes down to – and what's one of those nitty-gritty things? Tactics.
Yeah.
Decisions about the manager making the right call for his team. And I feel like Vlatko Andonovski let this team down. I don't think it's totally on him. It takes a whole team to fail, right?
Yeah.
But this is an abject failure by the women's national team. It is not because the women's national team, I'm mad they didn't blow everybody out by 4 goals. It's not that. It's you got bounced the earliest you've ever been bounced from a World Cup. You are clearly more you're a top five talented team in the world. You did not live up to the talent, did not get showcased. Even with the injuries, that talent level is still top five. It did not get showcased properly, in my opinion. And that's where I get frustrated with this team, is that I don't think the coaching, I think the coaching let them down.
I think it's a World Cup of what could have been and a World Cup of how did you not see this coming?
Right.
Because all the indicators, like the signs were there. I mean, right? I mean, the signs of the world, to use air quotes, were catching up, were there. And the signs of you saying, well, we're the U.S., we can just roll the ball out and people are going to fall over. Like, you should have been on alarm bells. Every sense of your being should have been on alarm bells as soon as you went down to the Netherlands. Like, as soon as that run happens, they get diced through the midfield, you get diced all the way through your defense, you should have been on, hey, something's got to happen.
Yeah.
Something's got to happen here. And then, thankfully for Lindsey Horan, or else, I mean, you're out in the group stage
if
you
honestly don't win that game. If that, I keep thinking about that foul from Van de Donk. If that foul doesn't happen, Lindsey Horan gets up, gets pissed, and then right after that scores, not right after, but a minute or two later scores a goal, and the team played like their hair was on fire for 10 minutes. Where was that the entire time? Yeah. That's the part I will put on the players. Where was that intensity the entire time? If you're going to tell me the players' intensity wasn't as high because there wasn't maybe faith in the manager, that I could understand. If they looked at a game plan and said, I don't think this is going to work. I don't like this. They're playing me out of position. I don't get what I'm doing here. That I understand. If they felt like there wasn't a great tactical scheme for this team going into every game saying, basically, they're just going to give me the ball and make me do something. All right, I guess I'll do it. I could understand the players not having intensity because of all that. But still, it is ultimately on the players to find that and overcome it and bring that intensity. Coaches can't give you the fire that you need to win these World Cup games.
Right.
What they can do, though, is put you in better spots. Like I saw Andonovsky formationally, he went from having one basically like holding midfielder to two, went to like a double pivot back there in the defensive midfield. And then what happened? They actually, again, I didn't watch the whole game. I watched highlights, but from all accounts that I read and everything I saw, that worked a lot better in springing the attack against Sweden. You actually had more offensively against this Swedish team.
And at least they did something about it, right? But again,
why was that change only made now?
Now.
Why did you not identify that coming into this tournament to say, you know what, we're going to have a problem because our midfield's been decimated by injuries. We need to switch things
up.
Like,
what if Rose can't play in this game?
Yeah.
You know, if she gets hurt, well, ultimately, I mean, she picked up too many yellow cards, so she did miss the game. But what's going to be our plan of attack? And maybe it was moving forward and missing Rose Lavelle hurt this team more than we know. But, I mean, I think it's pretty symbolic that you go into this, you're looking to be the only team ever to win three in a row, and you get bounced in the round of 16.
Yeah, man, the pressure is immense. I think everybody felt that pressure to some degree, too. That's partially on the players, partially on the coaches.
Well, again, it's a new team. Like, some of these players haven't experienced that pressure before.
Yeah. And I'm not making excuses, by the way. I'll say this. I've seen some people who said, guys, don't worry, the future's bright. This team's going to be back. And yes, I know. They've got the Olympics, I think, next year is when the Olympics are. And then, again, another World Cup after that. It is okay for U.S. soccer fans to wallow in this
for a
minute. I really did not expect to be at a place with the women's team where we are talking about them the same. I felt like I watched the men's team over again.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the sense of,
you got tactically outclassed.
Tactically outclassed. It's like there was no ability to score. It sucks.
It's
really
maddening
sucks.
Because you know it's in there.
Yeah, I do. And I feel like the talent was there. And I know they'll be back and they'll be good again and all that. But Andonovsky, is the biggest reason why this team failed. And I will put that blame squarely, not squarely, but a lot of it on his shoulders. So, yeah, it sucks, man. And obviously, once I saw how it went, it was hard for me to go back and say, yes, I'm going to commit to watching 90 minutes of this because
exactly.
I was so frustrated. But I will give them credit for this. They always still make me proud to be a fan of their team.
Yeah.
And so I stand with the U.S. women's team. I am not down on them. I am just frustrated that the best of their talents were not utilized in this tournament.
It's because
the
they celebrated against Portugal. That's why I celebrated
the
draw.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Premier League is next. We'll talk about our thoughts as the Premier League season opens up, some teams we want to watch for, where we think teams are going to land in this whole deal. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
to Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet us at Bone Beam United. One other quick thought on the women's national team, and then we'll get to Premier League. I will say, and you know I've ripped Alexi Lawless, I just want to add this one more time. I cannot take another World Cup, men's or women's, with Alexi Lawless calling things.
Hey, the good news for you is that they just negotiated with the Saudi Pro League, so he's going to be your commentator for those games. So you can get that you want.
Good news. I won't be watching any of those. It's even more of a reason for me not to watch
those.
Man,
you must hate Lucas El Rayyan.
I guess, all right, I got to see one of his games. I'm telling you right now, like, the thing that annoys me to no end with Alexi Lawless is his whole, like, this whole notion of, like, well, if you speak your mind, maybe that's why you're not winning soccer games. It's like, oh, hold on a second. Am I wrong? If you don't remember Alexi Lawless when he played, and I know it's hard to, you should go back and look at what he looked like as a player. Alexi Lawless had a weird, huge, like, ginger fro thing going on with a long red goatee. He was known for being, like, this kind of out there goofball who liked to play his guitar. He had, like, a Bill Walton vibe going.
Except not
when he
as
played
good.
In soccer. No, not nearly as good of a at soccer as Walton was at basketball. But my point is, every article about Alexi Lawless when he played was, this guy's a little out there and he'll speak his mind about whatever he thinks. So for Alexi Lawless to be like, guys, you know, I think it's time to shut up and play soccer. Yeah. It's like, well, how about you first, dude? You didn't do that your entire career. And look what it's done for you. It got him right on TV. Because he now has malformed opinions that he can't put sentences to. Honest to God, I don't know why we can't get better soccer commentary in this country. It is either like the worst cretins from soccer 30 years ago that now populate our TV screen, or it's like, here's a random British dude. At least when it comes to Fox.
Yeah.
CBS, totally different ballgame.
Sure.
CBS, I think, does leagues better. All their coverage I've enjoyed. Kate Abdo's great. And I know, again, there's a lot of people there with British accents, but they actually get people who seem to know and appreciate the game of soccer. When I'm listening to Thierry Henry tell me something,
I'm listening.
I'm way more inclined to hear what he has to say about the game, even if I disagree. I'm, like I said, with Carly Lloyd, I'm way more inclined to hear what she has to say. Mm-hmm. I felt it was a very odd juxtaposition that you had player of the year gets the same platform as guy who played in like 4 World Cup games ever in Alexi Lawless. That did not make sense to me, that Carly Lloyd and Alexi Lawless were put on the same desk. It's like, these two do not equate. I'm sorry. If you don't like Carly Lloyd, you don't agree with her thing, that's fine. Carly Lloyd's earned the right to say whatever she wants there as a player. Alexi Lawless has not, and I have no desire to hear from him in the future. Glad he'll probably be around for another 20 years on TV talking about
this
crap.
The good news for everybody is that Bone and I are actually going to be your commentating team for the next World Cup.
Hey, you know what? Set some hashtag goals.
That's right.
Hashtag goals.
Big goals for us.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, so now let's move on to the Premier League and let's get into this. Where do you want to start, Beamer? Do you want to start by just big picture things with the Premier League?
I think the number one thing that we have to talk about is the gigantic elephant in the room.
Which is?
Manchester City, and will they win a fourth title? Like that's,
yeah, well, that's what
everybody is looking at, and they're obviously the best class of the competition. They come from out of nowhere last year. Well, I shouldn't say out of nowhere. They come from second place last year and just powered by Arsenal in the last few weeks of the season. I don't think that was a big surprise. You look at them. They won the FA Cup. They won the Champions League. They are treble winners for the first time since United did it. So can they replicate that? Now, they did have some big losses. Gundogan leaves. He goes elsewhere. But they did add some firepower in for City. They just signed Kvaratskhelia, one of the best, like $90 million. He's the most expensive defender.
Brought him in from Leipzig.
Yep. Can Pep continue to find the ways? We talk about Vlatko Andonovski and not being innovative and maybe being stuck in his system. You want to talk about the antithesis of soccer, and I don't even know why I'm comparing. This is a stupid comparison. I don't know why I'm comparing Vlatko Andonovski to Pep Guardiola.
No, you're not. You're juxtaposing how vastly different they
there
are.
There is. Yeah. It's not even ocean difference. It's like the difference between planet Earth and Jupiter.
You know,
like
the James Webb telescope they just shot up there, and like it's like, hey, we found a galaxy we were not aware of. That's the difference.
That's Vlatko Andonovski.
And then like
Pep is
on planet Earth. Yeah,
he is the telescope.
Exactly right.
But the way that they're so innovative, like, can it's going to be a different group. It just is. And the way that they played last year, their possession was down a little bit, but they realized they had Haaland and you could spring him on the counter and do all these different kind of things. Like, they just play such intuitive soccer. Can anybody match that with their managing prowess? I think that is thing number one this year, which I am interested to watch of the entire Premier League year. Can anybody knock them off?
Yeah. I think the big question in this becomes, yeah, like you said, Manchester City, can anyone stop them? Arsenal seemed like for most of last year, they were up to the challenge.
Yeah.
We all knew Manchester City could click in at any moment and then just go on a tear, which is what they did. And I think the big question for me becomes with Arsenal, I mean, you know, this is a team that can score goals. You know, they are going to be able to, if anyone can have a season that rivals Manchester City, it's right now in the Premier League, it's them. Mikel Arteta has done an incredible job.
If there's anybody that can rival Pep as a manager,
sure,
and being innovative, I think that Mikel Arteta in his time at Arsenal has shown you that he does have those qualities and they do possess that. And they also added some big pieces in the offseason. Kai Havertz comes in from Chelsea. You have Declan Rice, obviously, like that saga. What is he going to do to their midfield? Like, those were two big-time additions for the way that Arteta wants to play this.
Yeah, and I think they also added Yuri and Timber, for what it's worth. Who I'm just
excited
to hear the people doing. Was that Kesha that had the I'm calling Timber?
Yeah.
Like, I hope that becomes a song for them if he does something good. But anyway, Arsenal to me is, I do not think at all that far behind Manchester City.
Mm-mm.
Other than the amount of money, and they've spent a ton.
Yeah.
But Manchester City being able to go out as they have last year with Erling Haaland, they're always able to add people. Like, Kai Havertz has been disappointing with Chelsea.
That's because
right?
He was with Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, like, put him with Pep Guardiola, I'm not at all convinced his career's over.
No.
Like,
yeah.
If anyone's going to unlock what that guy can do, it's Pep. So how they deploy him, and then obviously what Arsenal can do, they've added firepower. They have not slept on this. They have tried to improve every facet, every level, right? They've gone out and added a forward, essentially. Why did I say? Yeah. Anyway.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. Kai Havertz and Arteta is what I was trying to say. He can also, he'll be able to.
He would be much scarier playing for Pep, but I do think he is going to be unlocked with Arteta, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm saying, I was getting both managers confused because they're both really good. And I think that Kai Havertz being able now to play with someone who will actually give him a chance to be what he wants to be, which is kind of float in between the front line and the midfield, I think that gives him a chance to rediscover what he should have been doing at Chelsea. So Arsenal's not sleeping on this. They are trying to do the best they can with the resources they have, which are significant. Manchester City has more resources probably than anyone, and they've spent them well. To me, the question becomes, do those new pieces for Arsenal click in? The other question I have about Arsenal, and it's a question I have not just for them, but I have for Newcastle, I have for Aston Villa,
your guys.
There are teams that last year surprised us that now have to divide their time between the domestic side and Europe. And I'm curious to see how each of those teams handle that. And to me, Arsenal has a huge question there, right? How do
they did it
handle
last year
this?
For Europa League, but it's a totally different.
Totally different. Yeah, you're in
totally
Champions League now. And as good as Arsenal was last year, Europa League was a different, that's different level of quality you're facing week in and week out. And of course, your fans expect, they want to win Europe. They want to win it no matter what version of it you're in, but now you're in the one that everyone knows is going to be tough. So we'll get into a little bit more of that. I am curious to see how that affects those teams. We will talk when we come back a little bit about Newcastle. We will talk about some of the, you know, the rest of the top four. We will talk about some disappointments from last year, i.e. Chelsea.
Leeds.
Well, dead.
Yeah.
But we will talk about my new team, as you said, Aston Villa, for this year. I've adopted them. We'll get into that and some discussion about the relegation battle, too. That's all coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Speaking of United, we didn't even bring up Manchester United yet.
Why would we?
No, but you know, I like this from you. It's kind of like a, I wouldn't call it a quiet confidence, but Manchester United redeemed themselves last year. They played back.
It's no big deal. They're back in Champions League. What should be the expectations every single year?
By the way, on Champions League, am I wrong? Isn't there a thing this year because of this? Is it a new rule where maybe you haven't heard of this? I thought I heard something, and this is how we research the show live while we're doing it. I feel like there's something where if the English Premier League gets there's some performance bonus where if they do X number of teams do well in the
they get a fifth team
in the Champions League and in Europa and in Europa Conference or whatever it's called. Combined record for all of that, this season, a fifth team gets a Champions League spot. And I feel like what I read on that was that if the standard was applied over the last like 10 or 15 years, 7 or 8 of the 10 years, Premier League would have got 5 spots, not 4.
Yeah, so they do this every few years with UEFA, like where they go back and look at the criteria. So, like, I mean, your federations can actually have spots ripped away depending if you don't do well, and other federations can have another spot gained. So depending on all of those, like, qualifications, then, yes, there can be 5 teams.
Okay. So this is one of the years where I think that may be able to happen at the end of the season if everything points in the direction it has. There's a chance that you're not talking about just being top 4 this year. Top 5 gets you possibly Champions League next year.
Also, they're expanding from 32 to 36 teams.
Oh, okay. So that probably is part of it, too.
Yep.
So in either case, this is something that very intriguing for that top 4 and possibly the top 5. And I think that, you know, as we said, Manchester United got back in. They are now a Champions League team again. They should have been a Champions League team and all along. Where's your confidence level going into this season, Beamer, about not just their abilities in the Premier League to stay in the top 4, but to contend for the actual Premier League title?
Yeah, City and Arsenal are too strong. Now, I'd love to sit up here and be like, hey, they're going to go down to, you know, decision day with a chance on it. I do think they give a little bit of a good contest here. I mean, I could see them hanging around, sniffing around, like being in first place or second or third and only a few points down until like 30 games. In the last 8, I think they may crash and burn a little bit. It all depends. Like, so you're number 2 of 10 Hog Ball. He has obviously made a lot of decisions, and there are a lot of turnover. David De Gea gone. Like, he's off the team. You got Andre Onana. He comes in.
Did he even go any? I don't think he's anywhere right now.
Yeah, there were reports that he was either going to go back to Spain or he was going to go to Saudi Arabia, but I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is. Maybe it's settled by the time you hear this, but yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who cares in your
still,
mind,
we're
right?
We're still in the – yeah, I mean, who – who is he? Who is David De Gea? What has he ever done for the
Andre
team?
Andre Onana is who they brought in on a, I mean,
big,
I know.
Yeah, big time deal.
Like $55 million transfer fee.
Yeah, and then he got chipped from half field in their last leading game. But he is aggressive. He's a sweeper keeper. He likes to play out of the back with his feet. He will make some mistakes.
Well, it's funny. I saw the signing. I didn't realize what position he played, and I was like, "This guy's huge." Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh, he's a goalkeeper. That's
why." That's why
he is huge.
So
yes.
They signed him. They signed Rasmus Højlund. So poor man's Erling Haaland. What can he bring? Now, apparently, he's got some back issues that he's dealing with, and he might be out for a couple of months and maybe a while before you see him. But yeah, it's just can Marcus continue to deliver? Are they going to have to count on him up top? Like, or is he going to be steady on the left hand side? Can he do that again? Bruno linking up with Mason Mount, like. I'm excited about it. I think it'll be a good year. I can see them contending. But again, it goes to that same Arsenal, Villa, you know, Newcastle. Like, now you're out of Europa League and you're into Champions League. Do you have a deep enough squad to compete on both fronts, or is this going to be an and-or situation? Is your focus going to be on the Premier League? You're going to go crashing out of the champ? Like, it's just, it's such
nah,
a,
it's
they don't have a deep enough team
right.
like City or like Arsenal at the moment to be competitive in both, not at least deep into the year, is my thought.
And obviously, when we say this, we're acknowledging like all these teams also have played an FA Cup and yes. Carabao Cup and yep. all that. But it's you know those are all going to be there, and then to get into a European competition and have that too, yep. that's the expectation though for Manchester United. Teams like mm-hmm. that, another team that has those expectations every year is Chelsea.
Yep.
And last year they did not hit any of them. Could they have a bit of an advantage? As weird as this sounds, that. This year, none of that's in. They don't have to worry about any of that. They just have to go focus on England. They have to focus on the domestic league and domestic competitions.
No.
I mean, they moved a ton of people out.
They did move a ton of people
including
out.
Including Mason Mount, who's now playing for your guys,
he
Manchester
is playing
United.
For United, and they brought a lot of people in. But again, we saw this. We saw what money spending can do to your team, and like it doesn't equate to wins.
No.
I think we're still a year away. Now, I'm excited to see Mudryk and what he can do with like a fully preseason with Chelsea. I think he can be an electrifying player. News today on Soccer Podcast Day that Tyler Adams is joining Chelsea on a $20 million move.
Very nice.
I don't know if that's the best situation for him. I would have liked to see him play more games. And again, big Americans going to Chelsea. Like, I don't know if I love that move for him as far as like the national team goes.
I love it that I love seeing again. Obviously Christian Pulisic goes to AC Milan. Like, I love seeing national team players playing in big spotlight type moments. But to your point, if those players are fighting for position,
right.
That's maybe not the best. However, we're a while away from the next World Cup, so at least you get some time to. If it doesn't work
out
this year,
too, like he's injured right now.
Oh, go figure. This is feels like half the guys on the national team. It's right. Like, oh, yeah, if they were healthy, we'd be really good, but they're always hurt. But Chelsea, the other thing with them, they brought in Christopher Nkunku from Leipzig.
Also hurt.
Hurt himself in the last game, yeah. And they were like, we got the whole attack now built around this guy, except
he doesn't play striker, and now he's hurt. Yeah. So you've been positionless at striker for forever. Let's sign a positionless striker, and now he gets hurt.
Well, the biggest addition for Chelsea is Ponch, right?
Of course.
Mauricio Pochettino comes
in. He knows the league.
Yes. So that's where I feel like if they just have to focus on Premier League and all the additions they've made, and they have a manager who I think, again, nothing against Thomas Tuchel last year than all the other guys who were after Tuchel. But, you know, like I feel like this is the move that you have to make if you're Chelsea and you've already spent a lot of money. You got to find a way. We haven't talked about him yet, but another big four club now that made it in last year, Newcastle.
Yeah.
With, again, unlimited resources or close to it, right? As close as you get in that. Newcastle is a team that I think really, I don't want to say throws a wrench into everything, but like if you're Chelsea, if you're Chelsea thinking maybe we can get back in the Champions League, how do you account for Newcastle, right? Because you already know that it's City, Arsenal, Manchester United seems to be back.
City and Arsenal are the two. There's two spots filled.
Yes. And if whether there's two or three this year for Champions League, if you're Chelsea saying, I think we could get back, Newcastle fills a third.
Liverpool not in that mix last year,
even got to them, but like Liverpool also is not going anywhere. Yeah. They are still going to be in the mix too. Newcastle, though, I count them personally. If I'm looking at this, who do you have more faith in? A team like a Chelsea or a Liverpool to get back into the Champions League or Newcastle? To me, that's Newcastle. Like,
I have more faith in Liverpool getting back into the Champions League than Chelsea. And I think that it's probably this year if we're looking at it.
Do you have more faith in either of those teams than Newcastle, though?
I have more faith in Newcastle than Chelsea, but I have more faith in
In Liverpool.
I have more faith in Liverpool. I love Eddie Howe. Like, I am a big fan of his. I think he is very good at his job, and he's got just enough kind of panic and fire about him that sets him really good. I think we may see a bit of a drop. Not like that they're going to get dropped, but maybe a bit of a drop compared to where they were last year. I don't know, for whatever reason, like it's tough to replicate now. They're going to have to focus on Champions League. I think that hits them harder because they haven't done that.
Yeah, it's a big new thing, right? And, of course, they start off with the villains, Aston Villa.
Your guys.
Coming in. So we will get into that. Aston Villa, that's my team this year in the Premier League. Don't worry, I'm still a Sunderland fan at heart. That's how it goes. We'll clear all that up in the next segment. We'll talk about that. And we will talk about some of, like I said, the also-rans, the teams that are going to be fighting to stay up. We'll get into all that when we come back. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
I've just seen the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
One thing we wanted to discuss on Bone and Beam before we get back into the Premier League stuff, we are a few short weeks away from things changing on this podcast, as they do around this time every year. If you're new, maybe you're listening to this on the radio on Saturdays. That's something that happens during the off season of football. And that's something that happens during, you know, MLS season, Columbus Crew season. When football returns, college football. Yeah. When Ohio State football returns and Ohio State's on every weekend, we will not be on as often on the radio. In fact, very little. And for those of you who catch our podcast every week, we will stop having breaks in between. Yes, yeah. We will just kind of be more the
Bone will just use an F-bomb laden descriptor for Erling Haaland.
So what I'm telling you is if you kind of like the show that you hear on the radio,
it's
you're
a lot different.
I'm telling you, once September hits, it'll be a different thing.
It's better.
So we like it better. Not that we don't like doing this on the radio, but the constraints of time always make us rush through
things. We're artistes.
Yeah, we like to just let it free flow a little bit. So
there's not enough time in this 1 hour show to talk about everything that we need to talk about.
If you want the free balling, fun loving podcast you get in the fall, just stick around. Go subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Just search up Bone Beam United. You can also tweet us at Bone Beam United on Twitter. So yes, Aston Villa, a listener of ours, listener of mine, Michael lives in Canada. Ultimate Aston Villa fan sent me a jersey. And said, I want you to be an Aston Villa supporter this year. I know about your history. I know every team you pick always gets relegated.
Curse.
But I'm an Aston Villa, hardcore Aston Villa fan. Goes over there at least a few times a year to watch games. He said, this year I'm begging you to be a fan of my team because I want to show that you're going to break this curse with Aston Villa. All right.
You suckers better stay up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You better stay up, man.
So, let's see. This is a team that they've got a lot going for them right now. They have Unai Emery, who, you know, his time in Europe, I didn't realize. I want to say he's won
a lot.
3 or 4 European championships. Mm-hmm. Obviously not all Champions League, of course, but he's won in Europe, and they are in a European competition again. That is a guy that I actually think Aston Villa, they are a pretty deep roster. Will they make a run at a top 4, top 5 spot? I don't know about that. But will they be up in the top 7 or 8? Will they be, like, probably pushing down some teams that want to be better? Like,
I think their expectation, that, again, this is coming from non-Aston Villa fans, so correct me if I'm wrong. Their expectation should be, we're at least getting a European spot, we're going to charge for top 4. Like, that should be... Yeah. What's on their platter for this year?
Yeah. And I think that's not unfair. I think that they should be aiming for more than just, you know, Conference Europa.
Them and Brighton. Like,
yeah, Brighton.
Brighton
same,
should
same
also
boat.
Be in that same
Brighton
category.
Is same boat. You're right. And that brings us to a team between those two. So I want to say Aston Villa, I think future's bright. You're going to hear a lot about them on this show. If you've ever wondered who are all my teams, very quickly, Aston Villa this year in the Premier League. Sunderland is my actual English soccer team, but they're in the second division, so we're good on that. Hoping they get promoted this year. Didn't get off to a good start. First game of the season, lost. We'll get it fixed. Over in Spain, I've got Real Madrid.
Yeah.
This year in Italy, AC Milan. Let's go. Two U.S. players
Celtic.
Over there. Celtic, obviously, in Scotland. Got them going.
Corinthians
down in Brazil. And then in Argentina, it's Boca Juniors, clearly. We know that. And, of course, the Crew are my team. So I think we got it all now. I think that's all the teams.
Southend, Manchester United, Bayern, Crew. We got 4.
You got it simple.
Lyle. Pretty and simple. Lyle. Don't,
and Lyle.
We've,
in France.
We've got Lyle.
And
together.
Lyle. We're French Lyle fans, yes. All in all, yes. Of course. But a team we have not talked about in England, Tottenham.
Some interesting news on Soccer Podcast Day, okay? Because we had everything prepped and planned to go. Now, the news has been dragging. If you know that the whole Harry Kane saga.
It's been a thing.
I mean, it's been a thing. Dan Levy meeting with Bayern. They started the bid at $80 million, then they bumped it up to $85 million, then they got it to $90 million. Now, as of Soccer Podcast Day, and now this could be official by the time you hear it
right.
On the podcast. This could be official by the time that you hear it on the radio. This could have blown up in flames by
right.
The time that you hear this. But they have agreed to terms.
The fee is agreed to.
The clubs have agreed on £100 million or euros. I'm not sure
they're
which
gonna,
denomination.
They will do this if Harry Kane wants to.
Now it's all about Harry Kane with personal terms with Bayern Munich. So what are they?
If I'm Harry Kane, I take the move and
of
go, let's go, win a, let's go win some trophies, baby.
Of course you do.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And that's a very interesting facet to all of what Tottenham does. Because even, you know, knowing that he could be with the team potentially, I still didn't feel very confident in Tottenham, like, cracking the top 5.
I feel confident with Ange at the helm. Postecoglou.
Dude, Postecoglou.
I really like him.
Who came over from Celtic,
yeah,
who is
your guy.
Did amazing things with them last year. Celtic fans were very disappointed to see him go. This is a very good manager. Will he translate into the English Premier League? Of course, that's always a question, right? We've even seen guys who maybe can't get it done at the big clubs who then drop down to smaller
sure.
clubs and do a really good job in the Premier League. But that's, I mean, you could
look at David Moyes, West Ham.
Look at Unai Emery, right?
Yeah,
like he wasn't great at Arsenal and has now done tremendous things with Villa, right? So these things happen. So Ange Postecoglou could be a big key for Tottenham. But again, it's also about the players. You got to have the horses to do
and
it.
And they're losing Harry Kane.
It looks like. So that's going to be a struggle. I am not confident in them.
I would say that Villa and Brighton finish above Tottenham. Villa, Brighton, Chelsea all finish above Tottenham.
I think Tottenham and Chelsea are going to kind of duke it out for who's more...
Like league or conference.
Who's more disappointing is what I mean.
Yeah.
And like I think that foursome you mentioned right there, they're all going to be fighting for like Europa League and possibly that fifth spot.
I think honestly like your top six.
But
you have
Liverpool still that should be better.
Your
right?
top 6 or 7 this year will be City, it'll be Arsenal, it'll be United, Liverpool, Newcastle, Brighton, and Villa.
Yeah.
And then, again, that's leaving Chelsea and Tottenham out of the mix.
Are we getting to a point now where it is like Big Ten is a good term if anybody wants it. I think it's open. But I mean, are we at the top 10 teams in England are just really damn good?
Yeah.
Because as much as we bag on Chelsea and Tottenham, they're bad for them.
Yes.
If Luton Town had Chelsea season last year, we'd be losing our minds about how great they are. Chelsea's expectations different. Tottenham's different, right? There's 10 excellent teams in the Premier League. There's two or three ungodly teams in the
Premier
League.
There's like 17 really good teams.
There's 17 really good teams. Yes. Yeah. But Luton Town, probably not one of them. Sorry.
Probably going down.
That's going to be a thing.
I don't even, what's their stadium's name? That everybody's getting excited.
Oh, that's the, what is that little place called? We talked about it.
I don't know. Whatever it is. Tiny little Luton Town.
Tiny little Luton Town is, enjoy while it lasts. I don't think they'll stay up.
Anyways, by the time you hear this on the radio, games will have already been played on Saturday and Friday. We have a new bar for United. I know we got like 20 seconds here. We'll be at City Tavern on Monday at 3 o'clock. If you want to join us, we kick the season off against Wolves. So that's our new bar.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Aftig Italian Village.
Absolutely. Yeah, very good stuff there. We are going to try to get out this year to more and more of the different supporters groups as well. So hit us up with those on Twitter, at BoneBeamUnited. We'd love to go visit yours at some point. Till next time, thanks for listening and enjoy all the soccer.